When he'd taken the breakfast up to the great hall, he'd kept getting the feeling that someone was trying to take the tray out of his hands. And as if that wasn't bad enough, this new duke had sent him back for, he shuddered, oatmeal and a runny boiled egg. The cook was too old for this sort of thing. He was set in his ways. He was a cook in the real feudal tradition. If it didn't have an apple in its mouth and you couldn't roast it, he didn't want to serve it. The fool hesitated with a card in his hand, suppressed his panic and thought quickly.
"Faith, Nuncle," he squeaked. "Thou art more full of questions than a Martlebury is full of mizzen sails."
The cook relaxed.
"Well, okay," he said,
not entirely satisfied. The fool lost the next three hands, just to be on the safe side. The porter, meanwhile, unfastened the hatch at the wicket gate and peered out.
"Who does knock without?" he growled.
The soldier, drenched and terrified though he was, hesitated.
"Without? Without what?"
he said.
"If you're gonna bugger about, you can bloody well stay without all day," said the porter calmly.
"No, I must see the Duke upon the instant," shouted the guard. "Witches are abroad."
The porter was about to come back with,
"Good time of year for it," or, "Wish I was too,"
but stopped when he saw the man's face. It wasn't the face of a man who would enter into the spirit of the thing. It was the look of someone who had seen things a decent man shouldn't wot of.
"Witches," said Lord Felmet.
"Witches,"
said the Duchess. In the draughty corridors, a voice as faint as the wind in distant keyholes said, with a note of hope,
"Witches?"
The psychically inclined.
"It's meddling, that's what it is," said Granny Weatherwax, "and no good will come of it."
"It's very romantic,"
said McGrat breathily and heaved a sigh.
"Goochy goo,"
said Nanny Og.
"Anyway," said McGrat, "you killed that horrid man."
"I never did. I just encouraged things to take their course."
Granny Weatherwax frowned.
"He didn't have no respect. Once people lose their respect, it means trouble."
"Izzy, wizzy, wazzy, duh."
"The other man brought him here to save him," shouted McGrat. "He wanted us to keep him safe. It's obvious. It's destiny."
"Oh, obvious," said Granny. "I'll grant you it's obvious. Trouble is, just because things are obvious doesn't mean they're true."
She weighed the crown in her hands. It felt very heavy, in a way that went beyond mere pounds and ounces.
"Yes, but the point is," McGrat began.
"The point is," said Granny, "that people are going to come looking. Serious people. Serious looking. Pull down the walls and burn off the thatch looking. And..."
"How's a boy, dear?"
"And, Gaither, I'm sure we'll all be a lot happier if you stop gurgling like that,"
Granny snapped. She could feel her nerves coming on. Her nerves always played up when she was unsure about things. Besides, they had retired to McGrat's cottage, and the decor was getting to her, because McGrat believed in nature's wisdom, and elves, and the healing power of colours, and the cycle of the season, and a lot of other things that Granny Weatherwax didn't have any truck with.
"You're not after telling me how to look after a child,"
snapped Nanny Og mildly.
"And me with 15 of my own." "I'm just saying we ought to think about it," said Granny.
The other two watched her for some time.
"Well," said McGrat.
Granny's fingers drummed on the edge of the crown. She frowned.
"First, we've got to take him away from here," she said,
and held up a hand.
"No, Gaither, I'm sure your cottage is ideal and everything, but it's not safe. He's got to go somewhere away from here, a long way away, where no one knows who he is. And then there's this."
She tossed the crown from hand to hand.
"Oh, that's easy," said McGrat. "I mean, you just hide it under a stone or something. That's easy, much easier than babies."
"It ain't," said Granny. "The reason being, the country's full of babies, and..."